It's a place that we hope that everybody in the community will feel like they own. It's going to be a place of training and equipping and encouraging. Most of all, worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's worthy of our praise, isn't he? And it's just, I mean, I just love this morning. Usually when I play guitar, I'm usually having to sing at the same time. I'm not great with multitasking, if I'm honest. So I'm a man. I am a man. So playing and singing at the same time, whoo, it's hard work. So actually, just to be able to sit back and just strum on my guitar, but listen to you all just giving worship to God was just beautiful. Really, really was. We are in our second week of our journey through Philippians. So there are four chapters and there are 4 weeks. That works out really well. Actually, no, there's 5 weeks, I think, in August. But four of them, we're going to be in the book of Philippians. So as we're in week two, we are in chapter two. That makes sense, doesn't it? So last week, and it's useful because I was here last week doing chapter one. So I can say with utmost confidence that chapter one, as we explored it last week, Paul opens the letter with a greeting to a church that he knows. He knows it because he pioneered it. He planted this church, so he knows the people there. Back in Acts chapter 16, he met with the wonderful Lydia, woman, yes, a lady of God who opened her house to him, and that was the start of the church. And so he knows that, and his exhortation, his encouragement to them through chapter 1 is pretty much centralized around one theme, and that is the importance of preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel no matter how you do it. Preaching your gospel no matter where you do it. In fact, we didn't look at this last week, but at the end of the, towards the end of the chapter, he actually says, don't worry that there are people that are preaching the gospel for personal benefit. He says, doesn't matter, because the gospel's been preached. So as long as the gospel's been preached, don't worry. That's how important Paul sees that central theme of when he's opening this letter up to the people that are going to read it. He's reminding them that preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is central to everything we do. And that word, remember last week, fellowship. When we think of fellowship, the word fellowship in church, we kind of think, oh, I'm going to get looked after, going to be in lots of nice friendships with people. I'm going to be able to explore my Bible with people. I'm going to be able to come together to eat with people. And all this is true. But actually, the word fellowship, as Paul writes it, the actual origin Greek word, actually means that the preaching, the sharing of the gospel should be part of everything. So we want to strive and we want to work and encourage one another towards this in things like our connect groups. But we are now in chapter 2. So I'm going to start by actually reading the first 11 verses. So they are on the screen. And this is one of my actual favorite chapters in the whole Bible, if I'm being honest, okay? Because there's a picture that's painted in here that I just find mind-blowing every time I come to it. So, starting at verse 1. If, then, there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. There's a lot of ouch in here. Ouch. Ooh. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And this is where it really, really kicks in. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every time I come to verse 6 onwards, I just want to cry, because we'll come to that in a minute. I'm not going to go there now. We'll get there in a second. Let's start with verse 1, because let's just follow this, because Paul's writing a letter, so he's following a train of thought. And at the end of chapter 1, he's beginning to talk about the unity that should be in the community. The unity that he hopes is in the church. Now, unity is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's something that when the church has unity, it has power. When a group of people are in unity together, they have power. I want to just tell you a quick story. So there was a father who had some sons, and he was towards the end of his life. He wasn't in the best of health, and his sons were just, they would quarrel and they would argue and they just wouldn't get on. Like, everyone always had to have a different view. Nobody could come to a place of agreement. And he was lying on his bed, just tired out. And he said, I need to call my sons here. And so all his sons gathered together. And he said, my boys, he said, each of you is like a stick. On your own, you can break, you can crumble. You know, the world is going to come against you. But if you're all sticks and you're all together and you're all bound with the bonds of unity, you will not break. If I start taking single sticks from there, they'll break. But because they're together, I'm exerting as much force. JD could probably do better because he's far stronger than me. But they will not shift. When a church has unity, when a church has unity in the Spirit, when a church is wrapped together with the bonds of peace, because where there's unity, there's often peace that goes with it. Because when you have unity, I don't know about any of you parents, but they still try and get away with it now. When my children were a bit younger, they're adults now. But when my children were a bit younger, they would come to one of us, maybe me, maybe Rachel, and they would ask us for something. Can I go here? Can I be taken into town? Or can I have some money for this? Now, usually if it was me, they just get no. And then, I do not want that answer. So I will go to my mother instead. Can I have? Can I be taken into town? Can I have some money for? And if they got a different answer, and whichever one it was of Rachel and I that were saying yes or no, because we weren't in unity, it would often lead to words being said that were not unified and weren't peaceful. But when we cottoned on to the fact that our children would try and play us off against one another, we became really, really good at checking out what the other person had said. Were we in unity over what it was that was being asked for? And it led to, well, maybe not so much peace for the kids, but peace for Rachel, now that's fine. unity is so important. And Paul writes at the very start of these scriptures, he's talking about unity. He's talking about encouragement. He's talking about loving one another. He's talking about sharing in the Spirit, compassion, sympathy. And then he says, make my joy complete. What's he going to be joyful about? What's going to cause Paul joy? It's if we are of the same mind, if the Philippians are going to be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Now that's really interesting, because oftentimes in church, certainly in Western church, there's almost a value put on having a different opinion. That the opposite view must be shared. Now, I'm not saying that if Mabel and I, or if Joanna and I, think two different things, that it's not okay to have a conversation about why each other thinks the way that we do, and even to disagree if we're not quite sure. But that's only if it's stuff that's been worked out in our own minds. It's stuff that may be coming out of our own experience. What Paul is talking about is about when God has spoken. Because if God has spoken to a group of people and he has said something, because, you know, let's think about what Scripture says about the Lord our God is one. He's not. God doesn't have a split personality. He doesn't speak to one person in a church about the church and say one thing, and then speak to an entirely different person in the church and say another thing about the direction, about the vision of that church. Because to do so, he would be introducing disunity. He himself would be not You know, he'd not be one. He wouldn't have his mind been spoken to the church. And so one of the things that I always look for when I get around a leadership team, you know, because I get the privilege sometimes of going and spending time with different leadership teams of different churches. And one of the things I always listen for is, it doesn't matter how it's being said, because it can be said in different ways. It can be said with pictures, or it can be said with words, or things can be expressed in a number of different ways. But if God has spoken, you'll always generally tend to find the message is the same ultimately. You'll always tend to find that what you end up hearing is the same voice. And yet, what we sometimes do as church is we think, well, the leadership team are saying this. Well, there are other views in the world. There are other things that happen. So even though I know what the vision of the church says, and even though I know what the direction of the church is, I'm just going to throw some stuff in, because it's contrary and opposite. And I can never quite understand why people do that. Because when you have unity, and you know, let's think about unity, what the Bible says. Psalm 133, you all know this. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren. Love that word, brethren. For brethren to dwell together in unity. And the Lord goes on, it's like precious oil upon the heads, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of the Lord. For there the Lord commanded his blessing. The psalmist is describing what it is like to live together in unity. And he says, when God's people have unity together, the Holy Spirit, he can move on that unity in a way that he can't when it's not present. And so that leads all of us to have to make a decision. Am I going to be someone who actually adds to the unity in an environment? Or am I going to be someone that stands at the edge and either just think, well, I'm just going to throw stuff in? Contrary, because everyone sounds the same. I don't like it when people sound the same. But some people struggle when we as a leadership team, I remember a few times people came to us and said, you guys all sound the same. And we were like, yeah, we know, because God has spoken to us. So why wouldn't we sound the same? Why wouldn't we be saying the same things? And there were some people that really struggled with that. Because they were, well, no, but surely there should be contrary voices. Surely there should be challenge within the team. And yes, there should be challenge. But the challenge is towards godliness and holiness, not towards people holding different opinions. And we're all, you all have a mind. You are all capable of thinking the thoughts of God. Because if you are saved today, if you're a Christian, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. And it says that, the Bible says that God, that the Holy Spirit takes from the very heart of the Father. Paul writes, the Spirit searches the heart of God. And then through Jesus, who, remember, he is our access, he is the only way we get to enter the Father's presence is through Jesus. And because Jesus is now in the Father's presence, the Bible says he's at the right hand of God. That's where he is. And because he's there, you're there. You are there now. At this moment in time. You, if you're a Christian today, if you're in Christ, you are now in the presence of God. I mean, this is why sometimes we talk about as church coming into the presence of God. I understand why we say that, but I think we sometimes need to like just modify our language because we already are in the presence of God. What we can do is draw closer. Yeah. That's the choice we can make is, are we going to draw closer or are we going to stay at a distance? And when we have unity, there is this blessing that happens. And the psalmist in Psalm 133 talks about how it's a priestly blessing. Why? Because it talks about Aaron, who's the high priest. It talks about the oil running. It's like a priestly anointing that can come upon every single one of us, a church. Remember, again, the Bible says that you are a priest. You're part of a royal priesthood. Just point at yourself. Get your finger. Point it towards yourself. Come on. You can do it. It's in the Bible. It's true. And just say, I am part of a royal priesthood. I am a priest. I am a priest. And that priestly blessing, that priestly oil can come upon you when you dwell together in unity with other priests. And we together all are a royal priesthood. Unity is about pulling together in the same direction. Has anyone been in a rowboat? Yeah? Has anyone been in a rowboat where people are doing different things? The oars aren't going together. And all that tends to happen is you just go round in circles. No, you go. No, I go. No, you go. No, me. And again, if you've got a husband and a wife in that situation, there are words that can be said. When there's unity and you're all pulling together, I'm amazed, like, you know, watching the rowing at the Olympics or the Oxford and Cambridge boat race. Like, just that all those people pulling together in the same rhythm, each knowing their part in the whole picture, and how that produces such power in the boat that it just slides through the water, slices through the water. And I mean, that's not my experience of rowing. I pray one day it would be in Jesus' name. But Paul, at the start of this chapter, is saying, be of full accord. Be of one mind. And then it gets even more, he just starts to really challenge. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others better than yourself. Don't look at your own interests, look to the interests of others. This is a challenge to our Western lifestyle. Because that's not how many, many people would think of behaving or acting. You know, in our consumerism society, it's all, what can I get next? What can I have next? What does the amount of money in my bank account, what do I deserve to buy myself from that? And I'm not saying it's not wrong to have nice things. I'm not saying it's wrong to have nice things. But, you know, I know we talked a lot about tithing recently, and I'm not going to talk about it today. I'm just going to say this. Is it only 10% of your bank account that God's after? Or is he after it all? You know, my money isn't mine. My provider is God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He gives me what I need. And so my question, or mine and Rachel's question every single month and at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, is, Lord, what do you want us to do with our money? What is it you want us to do? If there's anything you want us to do with our money, then you need to please speak to us. Because it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's actually about how can we build one another up? How can we see each other succeed? What is it that I can do that is going to get you to the place where you have the capacity to be in God? What call do you have on your life that I can encourage, that I can help lift you up so that you can do all that you are capable of doing in God? You know, this is the great joy of following Jesus. The great joy of following Jesus, if we truly follow his example, is that we just get to raise people up. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus came to earth, and mission number one was to find a group of people that he could raise up. That's what he did. And so for each one of us, a question as a Christian we should be asking ourselves is, who am I encouraging? Who am I raising up? Who am I speaking to and speaking over to say, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can break through. Come on, you can break through in Jesus. Come on, I can see the gold that God has put in you. I can see the gifts that God has put in you, and I'm going to call them out. I'm going to speak them out over you. When we were in Gran Canaria the other week, I'm not going to say which team member because that would be wrong. But one of our team members has a call on their lives. And so every single one of us took every opportunity we could to call it out. And you could see their faces when we're, oh, goodness sake, not again. But when you can see something on somebody, of course, they have to choose it. We can't force anybody into doing anything that they don't want to do. That's wrong. In fact, you know, it's abusive to make people do stuff that they don't want to do. But when you can see the gold that's in someone's life. You know, it's not about what's good for me. It's about how can I lift my brother or my sister up? How can I help them succeed? So like when I think about seedlings, you know, I think about Jane and Courtney, and I think about the legacy that the beautiful Rachel Way has left in like just all these people, all these families. And it's how can we help seedlings succeed? How can we all, it may just be that you're someone, I can't physically be there, but I can pray. So I'm going to commit to praying. I'm going to make it part of my devotional time every day. Breakthrough for seedlings, breakthrough for seedlings, breakthrough for seedlings, until we see it. It might be that as these families start to come to know Jesus, hallelujah. You know, these guys are brilliant. You know, aren't we just so blessed to have Joanna and Mabel? Yes. We love Joanna and Mabel. But guess what? They can't do everything. And if all these families start to come to know Christ, they're going to need people to walk with them. They're going to need people to come alongside them. And maybe that's what you get to do, is to walk with one of these families. But it's all about seeing what is God doing with us as a community, and how can I serve it? How can I help be someone that breaks through, because we have that unity, the unity that brings, that attracts the blessing, the oil of the Holy Spirit upon something. And we move to this amazing picture. This is perhaps an early Christian hymn that they would have sung as they were together. Starting in verse 6. And just take a couple of moments to think about this. Who, though he was in the form of God? So Jesus, we understand John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So Jesus, God himself, did not regard equality with God to something to be exploited. These are things that should really throw us into a state of awe. God himself chose to humble himself and come to earth as a man. He emptied himself. We were singing before, worthy is the Lord, worthy is the Lamb. All the saints and all the angels bow down before your throne. That's where Jesus was. In this place of constant worship, of the ability to create in a moment, instantly. Because we understand in Genesis, in the beginning was the Word. What did God do to bring the earth into being? He spoke. through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, everything that was created, he spoke into being, and it happened in an instant. God emptied himself of all of that to come to earth as a man, still God, but fully man. And on the earth, he had to then establish for the first time in the whole of history, this relationship with God the Father. When he was in heaven, it was all instant. Instant access. Instant unity together with his Father. Instant everything. Not even having to think about it. I mean, all of us, I'm assuming that you, like me, often have to make the choice to come into the presence of God. We choose to come into the presence of God. It's not necessary. Sometimes we can fall in naturally. Sometimes it can just happen. But most of the time, we all have to make a choice. When Jesus was in heaven, he was there with God the whole time. There was no separation. But he emptied himself of all of that to come to earth, to live as a man, to establish this relationship, this pattern of relationship with God that we all now have the capacity to follow. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. He made himself in human likeness, became like us fully. And did it to the point of death. Gave his life so that we, you and I, we can have everything that he has. And the picture that I often just, my mind automatically goes to at this point is in John chapter 13, where it says that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to him, into his hands, knowing who he was, where he had come from, where he was going to return to, Jesus, knowing all of this, knowing that he was God, chose to get down on his knees, wrap a towel round his waist, and wash the disciples' feet. I was just like, ah. God doing this. And yet, so some of us like, can you put some chairs away? Oh, do I have to? Can you help with tea and coffee? Oh. Now, actually, no, in this community, you guys are great at serving. We see it all the time. We see it all the time. But there's still a challenge in this. That as Paul encourages the Philippians at the start of chapter 2, and there's, you know, again, we could have gone through the second half of the chapter and just, there's so much good stuff. But this message of to bring Paul joy, what he was after was a community of people that were in unity, a community of people that had one mind and one spirit. They were, they were together, unbreakable, with the bonds of peace, with the bond of the Spirit, knowing that if they were of one accord, there was a blessing that God would work through them, knowing that their example is none other than Jesus Christ himself, who emptied himself and served everybody. So let's pray, brothers and sisters, as we continue this journey. You know, what one thing this week can you ask God? What can I do to add to the strength of unity in the church? What one thing, Lord, do you want me to do that strengthens others? What one thing can I speak into someone else's life? What one way can I serve somebody so that they're successful? What one thing can I do that's going to add to the life of the whole? What one thing, Lord, do you want me to do? Ask yourself that this week as you pray, as you spend time with the Lord. What one thing can you do that's going to attract the blessing that comes when we have the fellowship of the Spirit, when we're in unity together, the priestly oil that God will pour out on each one of us, on all of us, when we're together in unity. Let's pray. Can I ask you to stand? Thank you, Lord. Just a couple of people just lay their hands on Jane for me. Would that be okay? Just anyone around her? Yeah, Jane, I just felt the Lord say to me that I need to just remind you that you are planted by streams of living water. And there's nothing that the Lord will not add to you. You know, you've seen, I'm so encouraged to hear about, you know, just the breakthroughs of the last couple of weeks. But I just want to say to you, Jane, that's meant to be your lifestyle. Is seeing breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough, because you're a woman of faith. And the Lord is pleased. He's so pleased with you, the way that you've stewarded your heart, the way that you've carried yourself, the way that you've served, the way that you've been a strength to others. But I feel like the Lord wants me to say to you, Jane, this is your season. This is your season for breakthrough. This is your season to see miracles, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And I just see you almost like running up here every single week with a story. Every single week, just like, this is what God did. This is what God did. So thank you, Lord, for this amazing lady. Thank you, Lord, for what she's done over so many years in this community. The way in which she's given herself. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that the latter years are going to be amazing. Thank you for the sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord. Just maybe a couple of people lay their hands on Adrian for me, if that's all right. I feel like, Adrian, the Lord is just going to... He's going to just make you such a Barnabas. A Barnabas in this season. And that name means son of encouragement. I just see you being such an encourager in this next season, that you're just going to be someone that comes alongside people in the right moment and just puts a hand on their shoulder and just says, you're doing a great job. And you're going to see it. You're going to see people that need that encouragement, those moments of encouragement. Perhaps when no one else sees that person needs encouraging. And yeah, you're just going to be a man of encouragement. You're going to bring words of encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for Adrian. Lord, thank you for just the servant he is, the gentleness of his spirit, the way in which he just always seeks to serve what's there. And Lord, thank you that you're going to give him words in this next season just to encourage and to deliver in exactly the right moments, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this man of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And just put your hand on your own heart where you are. And we're going to pray for ourselves. Lord, we pray that we might have the bonds of unity in this church. That, Lord, it's a precious thing. Lord, it's a wonderful thing. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it for granted, Lord. We pray that the enemy would just not be able to rob us of anything when it comes to unity. Lord, that we would stay in that place where we are submitted to one another. Lord, preferring one another, lifting one another up, not acting out of selfish ambition or conceit or any such thing. So Lord, we just ask you, Lord God, to just bless us, bless this community. Lord, bless this place where you've brought us together as a church to serve, as a church to see people come to know Jesus Christ, to see people become disciples, to see people made whole, to see families made whole. Lord, we just pray and ask you to continue to work in us, work in our lives. And Jesus, we just look to you as our example, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I just feel like that there's a lot of people in the room that Joanna and I would say thank you for your service and your unity here. And we're going to, at the gate, continue to be in unity together. We can have different opinions, but we can still work together to serve the Lord Jesus. He's just amazing. He's just amazing. So I bless you all now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve Jesus. Amen. Tea and coffee is served, and if you'd like, no? What about that unity? Why didn't you just agree with me? You have to make my own tea. Okay, so we're having a picnic over in the park. I hope you brought lots of nice food. Oh, yes. There's sandwiches and eggs in the kitchen. And tonic water. Thank you. God bless you all.
八个人去卖一回。我upload 个 file。